Welcome to a special edition of Video Games Weekly. This episode is not over the air due to conflicts on KFAN. However, you are hearing this via podcast. I am with my co-host, Reiner from Game Informer. Hi, Reiner.
Church, since we're not on the air, we're not on the radio, we can say whatever we want.
We can say whatever we want.
I'm going to do it. We can say whatever the hell we want.
Oh, stinging. It lends itself to a certain kind of freedom that we're not normally used to with the constraints of over-the-air radio. FCC, you can bite me. You can bite my ass. FCC.
It might be going a little far, man. A little far from my comfort levels.
This special edition is because I didn't want to let the opportunity of Cyberpunk Week go without a show. We've been, for all the dozens of times we've talked about Cyberpunk, to not have a show the week it comes out is a major bummer. However, that's the way it goes. But yep, I want to be sure to talk about it. You did the full review for Game Informer at GameInformer.com, and you graded it 9 out of 10.
Yes. Kind of a surprising score given some of my critique, but we'll get into that.
Yeah. And it reads very, I guess maybe unevenly in the sense of you handing out praise and disappointment. But that's also pretty close to on track with most of what we're seeing, about 9 out of 10. Mm-hmm. And I want to get into the some of the philosophy of grading for bugs, which is a factor here.
Right.
And I thought maybe I'd start here, Reiner. Something's up when you get your review copy is on PC and not console, and this is a console release. How often, when you get a multi-platform release, especially for a AAA title, how often is your review code tied to PC and not a console?
Usually you get the option, right? Like, what system do you want to review this on? Mm-hmm. Usually the developer, if it's on three systems, has 3 ready. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes they'll be like, only PS4 is ready or only PC.
Yeah.
In this instance, only PC was ready. And it's still today, a day before release, because it comes, or wait, what day is it? Tuesday. 2 days before release. We still haven't seen console yet.
What does that tell you? This is weird. So
I know people start freaking out and it might be a bad sign or something like that.
Yeah.
But it at this point, it tells me nothing. I wish they had code ready. Who knows what's going on behind the scenes? If it's a Microsoft, Sony issue, I don't know. If it's a patch issue, you know, like there's just many things that could kind of throw a kink in the delivery of these, what we call codes, right? Mm-hmm. The versions of these games. And, you know, we're just waiting to see, you know, hopefully we get our hands on it soon. Hopefully it doesn't mean there's a problem with these two versions. But, you know, they delivered PC well in advance of, you know, I had plenty of time to play it to give it a full critique.
I think the reason, and I hate starting on bugs, but that is probably the single biggest narrative among all reviews right now, is that Cyberpunk is buggy.
Yeah.
And so I am starting there. The fact that usually the PC side is far buggier than the consoles, because there are literally millions of iterations of PC hardware between different processors and graphics cards and RAM and everything else. Whereas when you're building a game for console, exactly what the console looks like that's in everybody's home. So usually the console versions are more stable than the PC counterparts, and which makes it especially head scratching to me that you got the PC version and it was, as I think your review described it, as something like, you know, one of the buggier games that you've reviewed.
Yeah. You know, it could be as simple as there's a new PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X hardware out there. They had it optimized for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One, but now they have to see how it runs on those two systems, you know, or patch it up for those two systems. I don't know. You know, that's just me guessing out loud. But I you know, I was kind of shocked when they're like, you know, this game has been delayed numerous times. And then when they said only PC was ready, I was like, oh, okay, well, you know, maybe we'll get the other codes in a couple of days here and be able to put those through the paces. But yeah, that still has not happened yet.
Yeah, very strange. All right, let's talk about the game itself. You have a lot of character customization options, male, female, various gender assignments. Talk to me about the character creation process, and does it at the end of the day, does it even really matter? Like, for example, Skyrim, you can pour hundreds of hours if you want into, not hundreds, tens of hours into tweaking your character, and then basically you never see yourself if you play in the first person. Does it even matter, the character creation portion of this game?
It matters more than Skyrim. Like, there are scripted sequences where it pulls out to third person. You know, whether you're looking in a mirror, you know, like you could do that on your own, or it could be in a cutscene, or, you know, a very specific moment they really want to frame in a certain way, they will pull out to third person. Mm-hmm. And it is kind of shocking, because I'd be going for like 12 hours without seeing myself, and I'd be like, oh yeah, that's the character I made.
Yeah.
The character creator is very deep. It allows you to do lots of different, kind of contort the face, the shape of the face in different ways that you want. Eyes, hair, you know, various hair options. Me, a facial hair guy, they even have it where you can remove it off the cheeks, or just have it on the chin, or just, you know, both mouth and chin. Like, you can pick various styles and detail where it goes. The thing that's the craziest about the character creator is something you don't see often. It's in a couple of games, but you get to handle shape your genitalia, your genitals. Figure out size and the hair options and all of that stuff. And maybe there's a tattoo, you know, like it's, that gave me pause, and I was like, what's this all about? You know, immediately you're like, oh, there's going to be some interesting sequences in this game. But outside of a bug I ran into where whenever I took off my pants, I would see, you know, little Reiner down there. Or little V. It was not shown throughout the game.
Okay. Your character V, you described V as unlikable. Tell us about the person whose body we're walking into here.
Yeah, so V is a cyberpunk. You meet this character, you know, you get to design who it is. But it has a very specific voice for both play styles, and or, you know, if you're male or female, you get to pick which voice you want. And the thing about V is everything's edgy with this character. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of times you'll go into a sequence and it'll give you a choice, like the text will say, I don't think so, or something like that. And you have like five options. You're like, okay, I agree with that. That's what I would say. I'm going to pick that. And then all of a sudden V will say something really edgy, you know, like, and you're just kind of rolling your eyes like, oh, man, I didn't want him to do that. He just sounds like a jerk. And I just didn't like how this character was written throughout the game. Thankfully, in my game, V was a he. He's not the only character that lives in his brain. There's also a character named Johnny Silverhand, a digital construct of a character that died and is now embedded in the cyberware in V's brain, basically, lives there. It's very Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde at times, where you'll be in a story sequence and you'll have this other voice talking to you like, do this instead. It turns out that Johnny Silverhand is played by Keanu Reeves.
Nice.
Not only in voice, but in likeness. Like, Keanu looks and sounds awesome throughout the game and helps save V as a character. So V, is overbearing at times. Again, just kind of edgy, grimdark throughout the whole thing. and Silverhand is just consistent and, you know, crude and not the best character. I mean, does terrible things, says terrible things.
Okay.
But is just kind of that cool Keanu Reeves character throughout and really is kind of the driving force behind the narrative at times.
Talk to me about the NPCs. You said that a lot of care and crafting went into the non-player characters. They're detailed. They feel real, fleshed out. They're fully voiced. Talk to me about the NPCs in the world of Cyberpunk 2077.
Yeah, so when you start playing the game, I'm going to go a little different direction here, Charge. When you start playing the game, you're on a very scripted path, but if you look at your map, you'll just all of a sudden see you have dozens of missions available right there. Before the title card, you're just like, whoa, I'm overwhelmed already with things to do. Most of those missions that you take on introduce you to new NPCs or mission givers or a group of characters. If it's a gang or you go into a bar, you're just overwhelmed. You're people seeing, you know, like you're just like, whoa, I just want to sit back and study all of these individuals, their clothing, the cybernetics that they have on their body, how they carry themselves. It's amazing the level of detail in each character model. when you start talking to them, that amazement even goes higher in that their animations are really cool. And not just like scripted, like I'm holding up my hands as I talk, or, you know, like I'm walking in a circle as I talk. It's like they have animations that are specific for these missions where they're interacting with the environment. They're interacting with you. V from first person has all sorts of different animations that go with it. It's stunning, the level of detail here. It's just not talking heads. It's every sequence or every mission gives you like this very cinematic presentation of talking to these detailed characters. And they're all, most of them, voiced very well. A lot of choice in that. You know, going back to the character creator, you get to pick three lifelines or life paths. That can shape the narrative of, as well. If you're a street kid as one of the life paths, sometimes in conversation there will be an option for street kid, you know, that gives you a different thing that you won't see if you're a nomad or a corpo.
Yeah, and so, the nomads start you, your backstory is that you came from, and I think you start the game out in the boonies, right?
Yeah. Yep, and you go there along the critical path, so don't feel like, well, I want to see that, I better play a nomad. You will go there as the game goes on.
I was just thinking, you know, I don't know if I want to go the nomad path if it seems like I'm going to spend most of this game in the city, and I'm going to have many more options to use my city skills, my city background, than I will, you know, some guy who is a dust farmer in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, I would say Street Kid is a pretty good one to start with.
Is that what you did?
I tinkered. Yeah, and, you know, I played the game all the way through as the male V, but I played female perspective, did different romance options across the board, seeing how everything stacks up as I did this review on different playthroughs. But, yeah, I think Street Kid is probably the one that will get you the most bang for your buck just in the narrative right out of the gates.
Let's talk about the general tenor of the game, the setting of the game. You say it's downright oppressive. There are few rays of happiness in this game. And does that end up weighing down on you and that they didn't balance it out some, right? I think when you sign up for Cyberpunk, you know, you're going for dark, you know, dark future, and it's not going to be unicorns and fairies. Right.
Right.
But you know, every narrative I think needs to have some balance in it. If I'm not getting some payback and some happiness and some good feelings out of this, it might wear me down. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, Grand Theft Auto would be kind of cheeky at times and just kind of goofy. And even though it's kind of sick and wrong, it would have some humor to it. Cyberpunk does not play to that beat at all. It is just very dark. There's a lot of bad things going on in Night City, this beautiful cityscape, metropolis of the future, just stunning. But the citizens of it and the things they do are not good, Charge. It weighs on you. And then having V, you know, kind of be super dark as well, it all adds up to a pretty disturbing picture. And there's some things, some themes that they touch on that, you know, you just don't mess around with, and it gets uncomfortable at times. And, you know, there are romance options, as I pointed out, where there are little slivers of, hey, I'm going to do something I'm not going to murder someone, you know, you know, make their life miserable. But, you know, it is just a story about bad things happening from bad people.
You'll want to veer off the critical path pretty regularly, right?
Oh yeah, all the time. And that's where the game's at its best, right? The story, you know,
like Witcher.
Yeah, the story is like kind of like TV show episodic, where you'll finish a mission and you'll be like, oh God, I got to see what happens next. But that's not the best way to play the game. You can critical path it in like 15 to 20 hours, you know, get through the story, which is very unlike Witcher, right? You can get right through it, or take your time and really just explore the city. That's where it's at its best, where you're just riding around on your motorcycle or car, or just walking through a crowded market and soaking in the life, seeing what side activities are available to you. You might see a question mark pop up in a building. You got to figure out how to get in there. Sometimes I would do that and I'd be like, oh, I'm going against level 50 enemies, I'm just going to get worked. And, you know, like would make a note of that. Like, I'll get back there later in the game to see what kind of iconic loot is hidden there. I think there's going to be an iconic loot in there.
Yeah.
Or gun. I'm going to make sure I get back there. So that's where it's at its best, is just freeing yourself of the narrative and just kind of paving your own path.
Speaking of loot, and we're talking about Cyberpunk 2077, this is arguably the biggest release of the year. I don't even think that's, I don't, I think that goes without saying. It's not
the most anticipated, without question.
For sure. Talk to me about all the loot that you're going to run into. Your review indicates I'm going to see a lot of loot, and I'm going to be managing a lot of loot.
You go into an environment with enemies, you know, you take them out, their body contains loot. They drop a weapon that has a color, you know, green, blue, you know, the color scale of loot. You're going to see boxes in the environment that hold loot. You're going to see stuff on the table that you can pick up, whether it's a random ashtray or sex toy. They're everywhere for some reason. And then even in places they shouldn't be. And then also, you know, just documents that you can read. There's these little little computer things that you can interact with that give you a lot of lore that you can read. Very much like Skyrim, the books, but just everywhere. Like one environment I went into, one room I went into had five things I could read. And it's, I mean, it's, and it's not just like glowing. It's like stuff you got to go out of your way to find.
Yeah.
But they have so much lore, so much depth built into this world, which is based on the board game, right? The Cyberpunk series of board games. There's just a lot here. A lot of care went into it all. It's very impressive, the amount of stuff that you can tinker with and journey into, you know, just on your own.
All right, speaking of tinkering, let's go to the crafting in Cyberpunk 2077. Yeah. Many people love crafting. I personally think it's busy work, but a lot of people like it. I believe there is crafting mechanisms in this game.
Yeah, and they handle it pretty well, where I pick up everything I can. Like, I am a human vacuum cleaner sucking up all this loot. And then you can immediately just convert it into parts and use that to upgrade your weapons. And we're not just talking about, like, getting a plus one on a gun. When you upgrade something, usually it's significant. Like, okay, this thing's doing, like, 40 more damage. So there is a – in it, you know, it's very quick. You do spend time in menus because, you know, you're putting on new clothing. You're assigning new abilities. The skill trees are just gargantuan. If you just crit path it, you're barely going to scratch the surface of what you can do in the game, both in terms of powers that you have. Powers, I mean, like being able to hack systems, you know, detonate a grenade in someone's pocket. That's always fun.
Yeah.
Or turn off security cameras, or even just hack into them to use them. And they have so many different options to how you can approach conflicts. And that's all tied on the skill tree, how deep that gets. So going off the beaten path, having this be a 100, 200 plus hour game is going to make the combat and conflicts more entertaining.
All right. That part sounds reasonable to me. Talk to me about using stealth. It sounds like you say the gunplay in Cyberpunk 2077 is just okay. And yeah, man, I can get shooters anywhere. The last thing I want to do is turn Cyberpunk into a shooter. I want to use all kinds of cool tech and, you know, effectively future magic to defeat my enemies and to work around puzzles and things.
The guns feel great. You know, I'll say that, like they pack a punch, and when you level them up, it's very satisfying. It just turns out the enemies aren't very smart. The AI is pretty easy to exploit. They'll be behind a thin railing thinking they're hiding. You're just like, well, you're done. And then they also run out into the middle of conflicts, sometimes get confused where they're at, or if you're kind of moving a little, they'll even just like 5 feet to your left, they'll be like, change trajectory, but now I'm really out in the open. They're not very smart. So that makes the gunplay, that kind of dumbs down the gunplay. The fun that's there is sapped by the bad AI. But if you're using stealth and they're just kind of walking their patrol paths, it works a lot better. And I think that's more entertaining, given that goes more into the skills. If you're going to be kind of a cyber ninja, it's different, where you're using like a sword, kind of getting in close. That's all pretty sloppy, just first person sword play like that. It's not great, but it is satisfying in that, you know, I'm one hit killing these guys with a sword. That's fun. But it is, you know, it's not the most polished experience that you can have. Whereas I think stealth in Cyberpunk is the most polished aspect of it, in that you can sneak around. It's done very well. The vision lines, you know, the alert meters, all of that is very forgiving. And it ends up being really fun to go through an entire environment filled with like 20 enemies and never be seen. That's the way to play it, in my opinion.
All right, fun. That sounds like it's right up my alley. I like that part. We should, as I'm wrapping it up here, this game is not for kids. If you heard the beginning of this, this sounds like it's about as firm an M rating as we've had.
Oh yes, yeah. There's I'm at this point in the game, and this lady's just like, hey, let's consummate this, and it's like, well. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then it gets very graphic. So it is there's sex, there's drugs, there's violence. It has all of it, Church. It really does like kind of indulge itself in all of those things.
All right. And the last thing I should mention, and I think I'll credit Game Informer for really starting this story, which has turned into, a sizable one. Anybody with epilepsy needs to mm-hmm. show real caution with this game.
Yeah, and there's usually warnings on game. This one really, really needs it. There's a lot of flashing colors, transitions between sequences. They do kind of fades to white, and there's just bursts of color on screen, kind of like a computer screen.
Yeah,
I mean, all that stuff is stuff you need to note and pay attention to. And CD Projekt has addressed it now, and hopefully they can put in a patch or an option, right? Like. So people can play it without having to worry about these things.
All right. Last thing, you gave Cyberpunk 2077 a 9 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
If the bugs are ironed out over the course of days, weeks, or even months. And by the way, Witcher launched as a pretty buggy mess in its day, which has long since been forgotten and people are still buying it new today, 5 years later. If you take the bugs off the table, under the assumption they'll be fixed, and maybe people are listening to this next spring, what would you grade Cyberpunk as a perfect, as a bugless game? Does it still get 9 out of 10, or
maybe a little higher? I don't think it would go to a 10 or a 9.5. I think maybe a 9.25.
Okay.
Most of the bugs I encountered were of the visual variety.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, outside of the cutscenes, those beautifully animated cutscenes usually wouldn't have visual bugs, but sometimes one of the bugs I had was it replaced all the items that characters would have during one of my loads that I went into with a gun that was faced backwards. So if they were going to be holding, let's say, a shot glass charge at a bar, they would instead be holding a pistol and then would put that
drinking
up to
from the pistol.
Yeah, and it's just like it's like, what is going on? So it's like, I'm going to reload it. It was just little visual hitches or characters T-posing, their animation wouldn't kick in, so they're just standing there. Things like that kind of made it comedic and took away some of the immersion at times. But thankfully, none of the bugs I ran into were gameplay ending. There's just a couple where it was like, oh, I can't look down the sights of my gun. I'm going to reload it,
mm-hmm.
The checkpoint. Or, Johnny Silverhand's on screen and it does this kind of weird computer glitchy stuff on the screen that didn't go away after a cutscene, and it was there during gameplay and it was annoying. So I reloaded a sequence, had to play through it again, and then got rid of it. Right. Like it played out the way it should the next time. So just things like that, but it's like the visual glitches are all over the place, and hopefully the patching on the day one patch will help it a little. I doubt that's going to do much for it. People think that this is just going to be a magical cure for the game, but usually it's a band-aid, these day one patches.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what they have in store, but hopefully they keep patching the game. Like Witcher got patched 5 years later, or got better over 5 years. Hopefully CD Projekt is committed to making this a more polished and better game over the long haul.
All right, last thing on Cyberpunk 2077. We're already how many minutes in? Let me take a look here. 24 minutes into just one game. Last thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you own a PS5 and or an Xbox Series X,
right,
the versions you're going to buy at retail are compatible with it, but they're not made for it.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing it's buggy right now, are you recommending that people wait if you've got the next generation of consoles?
I don't know. I have not seen those versions yet. And you're totally right. Like, there will be a better game down the road.
Yes.
Like, they're gonna tailor it to the new hardware with a free patch. So if you buy the PS4 version or Xbox One version, you will get a free patch update when it is available. We don't know when it's going to be in 2021 yet, but it is down the road. I don't know what that means. Like, yes, maybe you get Cyberpunk on Thursday and then you play it on your PS5 and it loads faster and has better frame rate just out of the gates, right? Like that could be something that happens. We see that with many games. Or, you know, maybe it's pretty close to what's on the PS4 and Xbox One, and maybe you should wait. Who knows? But that's the thing. We don't know when this patch is coming.
I know. It could be 6 months from now, Reiner. Yeah. We don't know.
I recommend playing it out of the gate, seeing what you think of it, and just go from there. You know, just kind of base your opinion on it, on what's there on day one. If it's super buggy, maybe you wait. We haven't seen those versions, so I can't really weigh in on it.
9 out of 10 is the exact same score that you gave to the Immortal Fenyx game.
Oh, yes. I adore that game, by the way. I didn't review it for Game Informer, but
yeah.
I think Immortals is one of my favorite games of the year. So is Cyberpunk. I think both those scores fit.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you know, if you're going to play one right now...
Well, you got to play Cyberpunk.
Okay, all right. They both scored 9. I think it's a reasonable question.
As I said, it is the most anticipated game of the year. It is this thing we've been waiting, 7 years since it was announced?
6.
To see what it, see what it is. And you got to just go into it and see if you like it.
All right. By the way, I'm already seeing, we talked about the horrible timing and marketing of Immortals Fenyx Rising and the terrible title in our last show. It's already being discounted down to $40. It's been out for a week, Reiner.
I've been seeing that across the board for the holidays, though. Like Watch Dogs 1 week will be 40 and then it's back up to 60. Assassin's Creed. I don't know if Ubisoft's doing something or, maybe it's not selling well. Who knows?
Right now, I believe Target's got a deal where if you buy 3 Ubisoft games at full price, you get a $50 gift card.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, how about that?
I know. So maybe that's the way to go. Thank you, Reiner. Appreciate all the detailed info on Cyberpunk. I'm going to play. I have pre-purchased the PC version, so I will be installing shortly here. And maybe we don't have a show next week either because of programming conflicts. The week after that, we're thinking it's our board game show. So maybe the week after that, we'll be talking. We'll circle back on Cyberpunk. Maybe it's been patched, and at that point, I'll have more to contribute to the conversation.
Yeah, maybe we could go into our games of the year.
Oh, and I would like that, too. We'll absolutely do that near the end of the year, too. All right. Thanks, Reiner.
You bet.
Talk to everybody next week. Bye-bye.